Well, good afternoon, everyone. And can I give you a very, very warm welcome to this special day, this special service, this induction service for Pastor Steve Auld. And whether you've come from near or far, you're very, very welcome. I want to in particular welcome Dr. Mike Bullmore and his wife Beverly, who have come from the States. Pastor Julian Hardiman and his wife Debbie, who's come from Cambridge, and John and Lourdes Brew, our own members, just home from Peru, from Tacna, and they have brought with them Elisario and Esther Vargas, so they're welcome. To our former pastor, Trevor Brock, and his wife Barbara, to Steve's family, to Lindsay's family, to all of Steve and Lindsay's friends, and lastly, to the family of believers that is known as Great Vic, brothers and sisters in Christ here. You know, as I thought about today, one of my favorite hymns is, "O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God." And I thought, isn't that was a happy day when I trusted the Lord Jesus. But isn't it a happy day that we've come to induct Steve as pastor of this church? And as I reflected on this day, and we've been looking forward to it, boy, we have been looking forward to it with great anticipation and expectancy. I thought, you know, it's a happy day, but yet it is a solemn day, because before God, it's a marriage of the church and this new pastor, and it's a new chapter in the life of Great Vic. And we're just going to have a word of prayer before we commence the program. So let's commit our way to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the occasion that brings us here this afternoon. We just ask, Lord, that you may be gracious and draw close to us as we seek to draw close to you. And Lord, as we open a new chapter in the life of this church, we pray, Lord, that you would work in the lives and hearts of this congregation and in our new pastor. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may have great things in store for the preaching of your word and for the extension of your kingdom. And Lord, we humbly and graciously ask that what we do this afternoon may be to your glory and honor. And we ask these things in the precious and in the peerless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're now going to stand to sing. I love the Wesleyan hymns, don't you? This great hymn by Charles Wesley, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing thy great Redeemer's praise." Let's stand to sing this to God's glory.
Thank you.
singing. I'm going to ask Cameron Grieve now, a church elder, if he would come and pray.
Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this great hymn and to be able to sing these wonderful words in this place. We just reflect on the opportunity to worship you through the words of this great hymn. You are our great Redeemer. You are worthy of our praise. We have triumphed through your grace. We thank you for that. We have found life and health and peace. And so, Father, we thank you that there's so many of us we can testify that the blood of Jesus has availed for us. We pray, Father, that you will assist us here as a fellowship, as a church, as a witness in the city centre to proclaim in this place that great gospel truth, so that we will see others sing and worship and declare testimony of that new life received. We pray, Father, that you would be with us as a church and as a fellowship under the leadership of Steve in the days ahead, that we would be a gospel-centered church and that we would witness, declaring as we have sung, the honours of your name for many years to come in this place. We pray, Father, that indeed in all that we do today and at all that we do in the future, that you would be sovereign over us and that you would bring great blessing in the days ahead to Steve and to Lindsay and to Hudson, Elliot and Grace. We pray now as we enter our program for this induction service that you'd be with Freddie and that you'd be with Mike and that you would speak your word to us through him. So, Father, be at the center of our vision, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to run at this point a short video, a short photo story video. And I believe this short story, photo story video captures the vision that we had as a church to call Steve. I'm confident that it also captures Steve's vision and passion for the city of Belfast, for the people of Belfast. The vision is reflected in both music and visuals. I should say that the music is a song by a Belfast Christian worship band called Blue Tree, written by two of them, Aaron Boyd and Pete Kernahan. It's a song called God of the City. I think it's very appropriate. And as you see the photo story go through and the landmarks, pictures of Belfast and the panoramas of Belfast, there are two photographers that I do want to acknowledge their allowing us to use them. And that's Alistair Hamill Photography and Mark Hudson. Then when you get to this building, you'll see photographs by Daniel and David McKillen. But I do think that this is a helpful little video just to set the scene for today, hopefully. So that's what we'll do now.
God of this city, you're the king of these people, you're the lord of this nation, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are, for there is no one like our God.
As a fellowship, we have always believed that we have a very strategic location here in the heart of Belfast, and on Great Victoria Street, we hope we will have a presence there when the new church is built and the development goes ahead, but we look to the Lord for that. But I hope that encapsulates some of the vision that we have to reach out and to be salt and light in this community. I'm going to ask now if one of our other church elders, Martin McMichael, would come and read scripture to us. Martin, please.
The reading is from Psalm 85. You, Lord, showed favour to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good. and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Amen.
Thank you, Martin. I'm going now to call upon the Church Secretary, Dr. Jim Davison, if he would come and bring us the history of the call. Jim.
The journey I'm about to relate today started in March 2013, when Trevor Brock, who had been the pastor of this church for the previous 25 years, informed the office bearers that he would retire in a few years' time. The news of Trevor's impending retirement took time to sink in, but as it did so, the waiting time was used to reflect and prayerfully consider the will of God regarding the pastorate in Great Vic. I likened this news to a person being given a plane ticket with no date on it and no destination on it. But when Trevor became president of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland in May 2014, we had the opportunity, indeed the privilege, of inviting godly men to minister his word to us Sunday when Trevor was away visiting other Baptist churches. It was now clear that Trevor would retire at the end of 2015. With this date, we were given the time to aim for a seamless transition from our pastorate to another. Our journey had begun. We were, and I wrote down, we were up in the air. And then I realised, no, that's not a good phrase to use, because it reminded me that that's where Freddie McLaughlin put his opponents on a football pitch, up in the air. So I changed it to, we were in the air. It was now clear what we had to do. We were on the journey, and there was great excitement. The landmarks, however, that we could see below us as we flew in and out of the clouds, metaphorically, were not too clear to start with. And as with most flights, we confess, there was one or two moments of turbulence. But blue skies soon appeared, and the journey was becoming both pleasant and exciting. On Sunday, the 6th of September 2015, our visiting preacher was Mr. Steve Auld. And from that day, there was a real sense that we had listened to the man whom God would have followed, Trevor Brock, in the pastorate of this church. Because of the very encouraging feedback from the church members, Steve was invited back to preach on Sunday, the 25th of November. Again, he was very favourably received by the church family. And I might add, there was a real sense of togetherness between the Auld family and the Great Vic family. I very much include Lindsay and the two boys, Hudson and Elliot, in this togetherness at that time. So following these two visits, arrangements were made for Steve to meet with the elders, who had met with the elders, after the first visit. And he met with the selection committee on Saturday, the 2nd of January 2016, to discuss his future and how it might include Great Vic. During the meeting, Steve spoke of his upbringing in a Christian home, his coming to faith as a young boy, and the struggle he encountered during his teenage years. In those years, rugby, that's a game played with an odd-shaped ball, but however, it played a great part in his life. But the passage in John 21, which records Christ's words to Peter, "Follow me," became a pivotal passage in his Christian life. And Lou Steve had been involved in Christian work as a Sunday school teacher and Bible school leader. He became convinced that God would call him to commit to his life in a further way. Soon after this, Steve was appointed as youth leader in Elmwood Presbyterian Church. Following 4 years at Elmwood, Steve and his wife, Lindsay, spent 2 years in Madagascar with AIM. From Madagascar, Steve and Lindsay moved back to Belfast and then to the United States, to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois, where Steve completed his master's degree. It's quite interesting that he, Lindsay, and Hudson went there for him to do a degree, and he also got a second son. So any of you who are thinking of studying for a Master of Divinity degree at Deerfield, bear in mind you may come home with more than your degree. But a meeting with Steve on Saturday the 2nd of January was very profitable, and there was real sense that God was guiding the selection committee and Steve to a closer and meaningful relationship. As our journey continued, blue sky and bright sunshine was much in evidence all around us. The resulting from this meeting and some correspondence between the selection committee and Steve, the selection committee met on the 19th of January to perfectly consider the next stage of our journey. This resulted in very favourable comments and reflections being made regarding that meeting up in the Dunadry Inn on the 2nd of January. We were aware that Steve, as a person, only sought to be obedient to God's word and the vision he would be working towards with the church if he were to come to Great Vic. The selection committee ended its meeting with a unanimous decision that God would have us call a special church meeting and place before it the following proposal: that the church issue a call to Mr. Stephen Auld, assistant pastor of Eden Baptist Church, Cambridge, to become pastor of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church. The special meeting was held on Wednesday the 10th of February 2016, and on completion of the necessary procedures as set out in the trust deed of the church, 94%, or 94.6% to be precise, of the total membership of 112 supported the proposal. As a church, we were aware that the earliest Steve, Lindsay, and now their three children, Grace being born that February, could be with us was the spring-summer of 2017. But we were convinced that the timing was God's timing. A call was issued, and after a time of seeking the mind of God, and I quote this from Steve's letter, if there was any reason he should not accept, and we thought that was significant. We received a positive response from Steve. Four times since accepting the call, Steve has been able to be our preacher, and it has been great having Lindsay, Hudson, Elliot, and Grace with Steve on each occasion. Since early April, the Auld family have settled into their new home, and Steve and Lindsay have become members of Great Victoria Street on transfer from Eden Baptist Church. So in one sense, it's lovely to say today, technically, that Great Victoria Street is appointing one of their members as pastor. So the ticket to our unknown destination, which turned out to be Cambridge, England, was completed, and after a short stay, metaphorically again, we returned home. But with us, we brought the man. We believe that God would help us have a next pastor. And of course, the real added blessing is that Lindsay, Hudson, Elliot, and Grace are a bonus in that package. May God bless you.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm going to ask now Steve if you would come and respond, please.
Thanks, Eric. Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's quite a challenge to respond to that beautiful metaphorical picture you painted there of the blue skies. I've been trying to convince our American friends, Mike and Bev, that it's like this all the time, but thankfully there's signs that it's going to be like this to Wednesday, so maybe they'll go just thinking it is like this all the time. Thanks, Jimmy, for walking us through that. I just thought it'd be nice in this response to give you the opportunity to hear a little glimpse of our journey from our perspective in what has led us to be at this point this afternoon. As assistant pastor at Eden, I was given 2 weeks study leave each year. It's a great thing. Give you space to study, long-range sermon planning. I would commend it to any pastors, elders here, to do that to your minister. Thankfully, I've already been granted that here at Great Vic. But in March 2015, I decided to take a week's study leave back here in Northern Ireland. And I asked Edwin Ewart, the principal of the Irish Baptist College, if I could use the facilities there at the Irish Baptist College in Moira, because we were staying with Lindsay's parents there in Moira, and it was really convenient. One day, I was working on a series that I preached at Eden on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 through 7. I came to about 1 o'clock, and I was getting a bit peckish, and I thought, I'll go down to the lunchroom and eat my packed lunch. I brought a little book, because my hope was to go and sit in a quiet corner, have my little sandwich and my potato, cheese, and onion crisps that I so missed in England, and to just have a wee bit of space. But I walked into the lunchroom, and it was full. And I thought, I can't just sit there in the corner by myself. Everyone's going to think, who is that weirdo sitting there by himself, salivating over this pack of potato, cheese, and onion crisps? So I thought I should sit down and chat to some people. And I did. I sat beside a student, and he was just asking me what I was doing and what my hopes were for sort of the longer-term future. And in the course of conversation, I mentioned that I would love, I think, longer-term to come back to Ireland to look for opportunities either in the south or the north of this island. And we wanted to put our roots down as a family because we've traveled around a considerable amount, as you heard from Jimmy's sort of vision of what all we've done over the past 8 years or so. And so I spoke to this student, and he just said to me, do you know Mervyn Scott, who is sort of coordinating Baptist missions at the moment and has spent a significant time in Cork and in the south working and just doing a great work establishing churches there. And Mervyn was there having lunch, and I said, no, I don't know who Mervyn is. So this guy introduced me to Mervyn, and we got chatting. He invited me to come up to his office. We chatted, and I just said at the end of the conversation, Mervyn, if you just keep your ear to the ground, and if you know of opportunities north, south that are happening, just let me know, and because I'm interested to hear. That evening, I was just about to nod off to sleep when a little ding went off on my phone, and it was Mervyn Scott, and he sent me a message saying, Steve, I know this might not be what you have in mind, but I know Great Vic are looking for a man, and maybe you could consider that. And I thought, okay, and he said, do you want me to pass on your information to one of the elders? And I said, okay. 2 days later, Eric Lindsay had me in Cafe Connor in the Strandmillis Road, sharing where they were at as a church. If you know Eric, you'll know that that's the way he moves pretty quickly. And he sat down and just said those words that you kind of know what they mean. Would you come and preach for us? And I had a fair idea that that was an invitation to come and preach, but also an invitation for the folks at Great Vic to suss me out. So, my first impressions walking in to Great Vic, I have three of them. Everyone was wearing suits and was very formally dressed. And I was not used to this. In my church in America that I went to, where Pastor Bullmore was the pastor, it was quite informal. At Eden, it's quite relaxed as well. And I was just struck by all these men in suits, and it was really, I was like, okay. Second, and I've thought carefully how I should word this, there were a significant number of people who were, let's say, a little more senior than I. But third, there was a warmth about this place from day one, and something that endeared us and drew us to the people here. Well, after preaching, Eric took me aside and he said, Steve, could I have a word with you? Eric's been a teacher pretty much his whole life, and typically for me, any time a teacher has taken me aside and asked for a word, it hasn't turned out too well, but thankfully this was quite positive, and he asked if I could meet with the elders the next day, because I was then flying home on Tuesday to Cambridge. And so they just basically said, we want you to consider coming to be our pastor. And he explained to me with the elders their interest. My response initially was, it's way too early. I'm just at Eden. I'm just getting my feet under the table. And I'll not be going anywhere until spring or summer of 2017. And I remember Eric's words. If we believe Steve Auld is God's man for Great Vic, we'll wait for Steve Auld. But if we don't believe Steve Auld is God's man for Great Vic, we don't want you. And I just realized, wow, I've got so used to the nice, reserved Cambridge way of communicating. And I thought, I'm not used to this directness, but I knew where I stood. So I was invited to come and preach again, or to preach at the end of November. At the end of the evening sermon, I was preaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 on motivations for gospel ministry. It's that wonderful passage where the Apostle Paul writes, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. For the love of Christ drives us, compels us in our ministry. And I was really trying to encourage the folks here to keep going. And I remember saying at the end of that sermon, God is not finished with this church yet. Amen. And in that moment, it was as if something dropped in my heart. An awareness that God is not finished with this church. And that there is a work for us to do that God is calling us to. And after the service, I went into our car. And Lindsay was with me that evening because I think her parents were looking after our kids. And before I could say, Lindsay said to me, Steve, in the last 5 minutes of your sermon, I felt like tears were coming. Because I had such a sense that there's work for us to do in this church. And I said, well, it's funny, I felt exactly the same thing. It's amazing when that happens when you're preaching and you realize God is speaking to you in the midst of your own message. And I realized that evening to go anywhere else would have been me doing a Jonah, knowing where God had called me to go and running the other direction. So I chatted with Julian, our senior pastor at Eden. I chatted with our elders there. They were so supportive from day one in this journey, to the point where in the end, when we were leaving Eden, the church and the elders there didn't want to say we were leaving. They said, we're sending you, and held a commissioning service for us as they gathered round and prayed and committed us to the work here. But in January, I asked Eric if we could have a meeting together with the steering committee. This was January of 2016. We met together, and we had a good time as we discussed and figured out a way forward and if it would be a good fit for us to come as a family to Great Vic. In February of 2016, I received a letter inviting me formally to become the pastor of this church. And in March, after setting aside some time to pray and seek the Lord, Lindsay and I wrote a letter back to the church to say that we would come, and I just want to read a little section of that letter to you to let you in on that moment that was very significant for us. Thank you very much for the letter you sent back on the 22nd of February, containing a call inviting me to consider becoming the pastor of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church. Thank you also for the prayerful support since then, as Lindsay and I have prayed and sought the Lord to lead us in giving a response to this call. As you know, we set apart most of last week to pray and ask the Lord if there was any reason why we shouldn't respond positively to this invitation to come and be your pastor, and to also ask for encouragement and confirmation if this was the right next step for us. We were touched deeply by the response of the elders and leaders along with the congregation as we asked for prayer support during that week. And again, we want to say thank you to all of those who prayed, fasted, and sought the Lord with us. In light of this past week of prayer, and indeed many other prayers and conversations leading up to this past week, I am delighted to give a positive response to your invitation. We believe it is the Lord's will for us to come as a family to Great Vic, and we are excited for what the Lord may have for us together as we move into a new chapter in the life of His church there. In grace, Steve, Lindsay, Hudson, Elliot, and Grace Auld. And it was intentional to sign off as a family. So we responded in March 2016, and we have been looking forward to this moment for some time now. When I was installed as assistant pastor at Eden, Julian, who's here today, preached from John 3:28, when John the Baptist said, I am not the Messiah. And he said to me on that day, Steve, don't try to be the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. I'm here to point you to him. He must become greater. I must become less. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Steve. And I just thank God with all my heart for the day and hour that our paths crossed and we met. And I will always be indebted to Mervyn Scott, who lifted the phone and said to me, listen, there's a guy called Steve Auld that I think you ought to hear preach. And the rest is history. But in the providence of God, our paths crossed and Steve has been called as pastor of this church, and we are so thankful to him and to Lindsay and to the family, and we are excited and we look to the Lord for what he has in store for us and for his kingdom in this place. You will see from your order of service that there's a pre-induction prayer by Clifford Manley, a church elder. Then the act of induction will take place by Freddie McLaughlin. Freddie is a dear, dear friend, a brother in Christ, a former member of this church, and who is now the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland president. And it's lovely to have him along this afternoon to do the actual act of induction. The elders will then place the right hand of fellowship to extend the right hand of fellowship to Steve, and then the post-induction prayer by Mike will take place. So what I would like for that to happen is that this sequence will take place unannounced, and these folk will come as appears on your order of service. So if I could ask Clifford now to come and pray, and then the other things will take place in sequence. Thank you.
Let's pray just before the induction. Lord, we take this opportunity to praise and to thank you that you are a God who has purposes and plans for your children. Your Holy Spirit has guided us and it has guided Steve and Lindsay to consider the possibility and to answer your call to take up the position of Steve being our pastor. Today this induction is our recognition and our remembering that your plans are perfect and that your plans progress forward. And we want your name to be glorified in all of that. We ask, Lord, that together as a partnership and as a family, we will grow. We will grow in faith. We will grow in our belief. We will grow in our trust and reliance on you. We will grow in our obedience to your word. And we will grow in our love for you and for each other. We pray that you will equip Steve as he teaches and as he preaches, as he encourages us, as he prays for us, and that we in turn would encourage him and support him so that together as a family, Lindsay and Steve and the children and all of us as one church, we would all become more Christ-like. We know this induction is important and serious, but it's also a time of joy because it gives us the opportunity to look forward as we desire to align ourselves with your perfect plans. So, Lord, your name is honoured and magnified at the centre of what we are now doing. Amen.
But it's joy for me to be present here. Certainly, I think Steve's got the angle on Great Vic. Jimmy's up in the air and has been for a long time. And and Eric's very much rooted and determined, and I think he's got a good angle on them. But this is a great church. It's been part of my life for 50 years, and I'm delighted to be back here and to be involved. I'm going to ask Steve to come forward, because this is the reason we're here, to it's like a marriage, bring folks together, and where people make commitments, and that's what this is about. We're gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great head and the great king of the church, to induct Stephen Aull to be the pastor of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church. The Bible teaches us that the ministry of pastor-teacher is a gift to the church, so that the people of God may be prepared for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until it reaches unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and they become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Therefore, this will be Steve's sacred duty, to walk closely with God and to cultivate a life of godliness, to preach and to teach God's word from the Holy Scriptures, and to pray, to lead the worship of this church, to be a faithful shepherd of the flock of Christ, and to do the work of an evangelist. Those undertaking this ministry are entitled to prayerful support, practical provision, and due honor of the church, as the Scriptures command. The undertaking of such a ministry rests upon the call of God that we have just witnessed, and acknowledged and confirmed by what we have heard by the secondary and elders. Therefore, I shall first ask Steve to declare that, believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, he believes that he's called of God to this sacred ministry, and to discharge his duties faithfully and with integrity. Then I shall ask the members of this church to declare that, being guided by the Holy Spirit, they have called him to be their pastor and teacher, and that they now receive him as appointed by God. Steve, in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you answer with all sincerity of heart the questions I now ask you? Firstly, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe in your heart that you're called of God into the ministry of the gospel and the pastoral oversight of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church?
I do.
Do you promise to be diligent and faithful in your service, to preach and to teach the word of God from the Holy Scriptures, to pray, to lead the congregation in worship, to shepherd the flock of Christ, and do the work of an evangelist?
I do.
Do you promise to be faithful in prayer and in the reading and study of the Holy Scriptures, and to lead a life worthy of this high calling?
I will endeavor to do so with the help of God.
Will the members of Great Victoria Street Church please stand in their places and answer two questions, if they believe with the words, "We do." Do you, the members of the local church gathered here at Great Victoria Street Baptist Church, acknowledge and receive Stephen Auld as the pastor of this church? Do you, the members, covenant to pray for him, work together with him to accomplish the mission of the church, giving him all the due honor and support, and ultimately the glory and the honour of God.
We do.
You may be seated. Now the elders are going to come forward and give Stephen the right hand of fellowship.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you not just for your attention to this moment, but for your presence here with us. We thank you that your posture towards this church, your posture towards this new pastor and his family is one of eagerness to bless. Thank you that you love to give good gifts to your children. And so, Lord, we thank you for this gift of today, of bringing Stephen and his family to this church. We thank you for the gift that is to Stephen and his family, and we thank you for the gift that is to Great Victoria Street Baptist Church.
Yes.
Father, we would pray that you would give particular gifts in this day and the days and months and years to come. We look to you, we rely on you.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Lord, we would pray that you would give to Stephen a heart of love for the people of this church that reflects your love for them. Pray that you would give him patience and kindness and gentleness. All of the fruit of the Spirit as he seeks to work out his pastoral ministry here, I pray that the people of this church would know the love of Christ and the blessing of the Holy Spirit through his presence and through his ministry. Father, we pray that you would give him wisdom as he seeks to lead this church and as he seeks to be present in this congregation and in this city with this people for your glory and for the advance of the gospel in this city. God, give him and the elders and the other office bearers of this church wisdom as they lead this congregation into the mission and the ministry that you have for them in the years to come. We pray, Father, for great blessing on the advance of the gospel, the advance of the kingdom in this place. Father, we would pray that you'd give him stamina, perseverance. Yes. There will be times when he will feel weak and faint-hearted. And so, God, we pray, give him strength and perseverance and vision during those times. Lord, we pray that you would also give him rest, that he would trust you for the work and not feel that he has to do it all. I pray that you would give him regular rest week by week and night by night, that his sleep would be sweet, and that his home life, his marriage, his relationship with his children would be marked by favor and blessing. God, you have told us that you are able to do more than we can ask or imagine, and our imaginations are fired by all of the possibilities that lay before this church. And so, God, we pray, do that and more for your own glory. We thank you for the privilege of standing together and seeing what you've done, and we now anticipate what you will do in the years to come. And so, God, we pray. We pray for strength, we pray for wisdom, we pray for blessing, but we pray most of all for the glory of your name and the glory of the name of Jesus Christ in this place. And so we lay these requests before you, and we know that you are eager to do good. And so we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
We're going to invite Lindsay up now, and I'm going to ask Violet if she would come. And just before Violet comes, we're going to extend the right hand of fellowship to Lindsay, and then we're going to ask Violet Davidson if she would come on behalf of the ladies of the church and make a presentation. But let's ask Lindsay up first, please. Lindsay, we're just going to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for Steve, but equally we thank you for Lindsay as well. We thank you for Lindsay as a wife and as a mother. And we thank you, Lord, for each of the children. We thank you for Hudson and Elliot and Grace. And Lord, as we receive Steve, we receive Lindsay and the children as well. They're part of the family here. And we want to love them in Christ. We want to cherish them all. And we just pray for Lindsay that you would be with her as she stands with Steve in the work here of the gospel of Christ. Lord, that you would be unto her all that she needs as a wife and a mother. And Lord, we just want her to know that we love her dearly in Christ. And Lord, that she may know and prove you in this church and amongst this fellowship. And we ask these things now in your name and for your sake. Amen. Amen. Okay. If Violet would now come. Sorry, you're here, Violet. I'll make a presentation. Okay. We are. We're just here.
I just want to repeat something that Eric said at the beginning of the service, not just because I've it written down here, but because we really mean it as a church. This is a very happy day for this church. Way back in March 2016, anticipating having to wait for Steve to be our pastor for 14 months seemed an awful long time. I don't know whether it was an age thing or not, but it passed very, very quickly. And we know that God did bless us in that time, and he was with us with great excitement in our waiting. Lindsay, having you, Steve, I'll have to be talking about it. Having you, Steve, Hudson, Elliot, and Grace as part of our congregation this past 4 weeks has been great. And it's been so lovely and a great opportunity for you to get to know us as a church. Lindsay, I'm here to give you a special welcome and to pledge our support to you as you support Steve in the work that he has to do here. We know that getting to everything in the church will not be easy, having three small children. But I want to assure you that when you do, you will always have a warm welcome, and especially at our ladies' meetings if you can get to them. And while I'm on that, on the 30th of May, our BWF are having... we're having the end of year meal. And if you can get a babysitter, excuse me, if you can get a babysitter, we would really love to see you there. Lindsay, on behalf of the church here at Great Victoria Street, I would like to welcome you to our fellowship and to ask you to accept these flowers.
Thank you.
Get them.
Very kind.
As a token of our love and appreciation
to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So much.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank
very
you.
Much, okay?
Now, a family consists of a husband and wife and children, and we would like for Hudson and Elliot to come up, if they would come up with their dad. And Jenna Manley, I hope, has got some gifts for the boys and for Grace as well. I'm going to ask Jenna if she would come forward and present that gift, or those gifts.
Thank you.
That's lovely. Thank you. We're now going to have greetings from the local churches, and it's lovely to have a former pupil of mine here today, Tim Robinson. He's a young man whose career and whose work for Christ I have followed with interest, and the Newton Breda Church has been so supportive of us here in holiday Bible clubs and with the youth club and with Daniel Ashby, the youth worker as well. And it's a delight and a joy to have... I'm getting ahead of myself here. How could I overlook the director of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland? Forgive me, David. David Ramsay is here, and he's going to come and bring greetings on behalf of the Association of Baptist Churches. Apologies, David. Sorry. Please come now.
And Eric said a former pupil of his. I was wondering where he was going. Wasn't too sure. I did pay attention in school, but must have missed that out. It's a real delight to be with you here at Great Vic this afternoon. A real joy. My name's Dave Ramsay. I serve God as the director of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland. And it's been lovely just to experience the warmth, which has been evident here today, that Steve mentioned. It's also been great just to see God at work, his purposes being worked out between bringing the church and Steve together. It's a delight for me to come and bring some greetings from your sister churches. I thank the leadership for the invitation. 116 other Baptist churches, 117 in total. And I bring greetings from Glenarm, all the way to Galway, all the way to Grace in Killarney, right the way to Great Victoria Street. You see what I did with the G's there. And the way I like to see it is the association is a family of churches. And what do families do? Well, they care for one another, they pray for one another, they grieve with one another when they're grieving, and they also rejoice with one another when they're rejoicing. And it's great to be able to rejoice with you today. And your sister churches, the number of folk that have said to me, isn't it great to see Great Victoria Street getting a young man in to lead the work forward and to preach God's word? Number of people who have mentioned that to me, and it's a real delight and a real joy. And not only is the association a family of churches, we're also a gospel partnership. And while I'm here, let me encourage you with one statistic, because I know the folk in Great Vic play a great part in the work of the association. In 1990, there were 10 churches in the association in the Republic of Ireland. And next week, next Saturday, if the vote goes the way hopefully it will go, we will then have 30 churches in the association in the Republic of Ireland. That's a growth of 20 churches in 27 years. And we don't say that to rejoice in statistics or to boast in numbers. We're not in the numbers game. But what that is, that's an expression of the gospel being proclaimed, people coming to faith, gathering as local churches, and praise God that his work is going forward across Ireland. And so it was great to have Steve here. We're delighted for you in Great Vic. We want to assure you of our prayers, both as a church and Steve. It was great to be able to catch up with Steve just last Tuesday and have coffee with him. I think there was a bit of a meeting of minds, and he was expressing about his ministry in the church here, and also about how he hopes to have some influence in the wider work of the association as well. And that was a real encouragement to me. So we look forward to fellowship with you, Steve, in the days to come. And just one final thing, if I could leave you with one thought that comes to mind, just to encourage you and for you to go away with, is when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, he mentions Epaphras, and he says a number of things about Epaphras, but three things in particular: how he was a minister of Christ, he wrestled in prayer for the church, and he worked hard for the people. And I think that's a good thing, just to imitate Epaphras as he imitates Paul, as he imitates Christ. Something for you, Steve, just to be a minister of Christ, preach the whole counsel of God, preach the gospel, encourage God's people, wrestle in prayer for them, and work hard among the people and shepherd the flock. So, and as you do that, it's our prayer for you and Lindsay and the family, and also Great Victoria Street Baptist Church here, that you will see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, be added to the church, that God's kingdom will be extended, the church will be strengthened, all to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God bless you, Steve.
Thank you, Dave, for those wise words and the encouragement from God's word. I'm going to ask Tim Robinson now to come if he would bring greetings on behalf of the Newton Breda Church. Timothy.
It's a privilege to be here today to welcome Steve and Lindsay. We're delighted for you on behalf of Newton Breda Baptist Church. We're just so thrilled at this appointment today. We've been praying for you as a church. We've been praying for you as a couple and a family. A number of years ago now, I too got a phone call from Eric, and he invited me out for an Ulster fry. So hopefully he will do that soon for you as well. But Eric and Daniel Ashby met me, and they shared their vision as a church to reach the people of these streets, and particularly the young people of Sandy Row. And I was inspired, and they asked, could we as a church help in some way? And it's been an absolute privilege as a church in Newton Breda to be able to send a number of young people, teenagers, young adults, each summer to serve here. It's been a joy to our hearts, to the elders' hearts, to see a number of our young people transfer their membership here, not because we wanted rid of them, but because we're delighted. We see it as a sign of discipleship, of growth, that these young people have caught a vision to serve God in the city center, to be a blessing in this church. And I know they have been incredibly blessed here. And so as a church, we just want to serve you as a couple, as a church. We want to bless you, honor you. And as I was praying just about these moments this day, I wanted to leave you just with one little thought. Forgive me if you think it's a little random, but I've got an apple here for you, Steve. You'll probably get lots of gifts. You may get a Bible. You may get lovely cards. I want to give you an apple today. Maybe your kids will enjoy that. But I heard a preacher say one time that this is not just an apple. This is an apple orchard waiting to happen. If you take the seeds from this one little apple and you plant them well and you tend to those seeds, a whole apple orchard can grow, a mighty harvest can come, and a whole landscape can be changed. And I, as I was praying for you today, Steve, I really wanted to pass on to you as a church and to you, Steve, this is not just a pastoral appointment today. I really believe this is a fruitful, and I pray it would be a mighty harvest waiting to happen. Steve, as you are planted here, as you tend to your soul, as you are rooted and established in love, as together you grow, and as your ministry is ever more fruitful, I dream of a mighty harvest on these streets in Sandy Row, many, many people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our dream. That this would not just be a pastoral appointment today, but actually this would be the start or the continuation of a mighty harvest in the city center and in Sandy Row and even beyond that as the gospel goes forth and God's hand is on Steve and his lovely family. So God bless you. We're here to serve you and we're right behind you and I hope you enjoy your apple.
Thank you, Timothy. I'm now going to call upon Pastor David Mackay from the Shaftesbury Square Reformed Presbyterian Church, if he would come and bring greetings from our brothers in the Presbyterian Church, which is close by, a neighbouring church. You're very welcome.
Well, Stephen Lindsay and Christian friends, it's a great privilege to be here, a great pleasure to be here today among you for what's a first for me in a Baptist installation. So do appreciate the fellowship. Of course, we've differences, don't we? I'm Presbyterian, you're Baptist. I hope you're convinced Baptists, by the way. I'm a convinced Presbyterian. We live in days when there's great indifference to doctrine. Doctrine's a burden. Doctrine's something we shouldn't talk too much about and not worry too much about. And that doesn't reflect the scriptures. If it's the truth of God, we are to be convinced of what we believe. And the issues that do divide us, the sacraments, church government, aren't trivial. They're not insignificant. They do matter. And we do need to be convinced of our position. But praise God, the things that unite us are far greater. And it's in that spirit I come among you today. I'm the pastor of the Reformed Presbyterian Church around in Dublin Road, one of your closest neighbours, I suppose. Not much more than a stone's throw away, and it wouldn't be hard to find a few fellas in the area who could prove it's a stone's throw away and be quite happy to do so. But there are other churches. They do tend to come and go. It's remarkable. We're there, soon be 10 years. And you meet folk who come in, and they're going to plant a church, and they know the answer that all the churches already there don't have. And then in a couple of years, you look and you think, where are they? And they're gone. And we thank God for those that are ministering here for the long haul, yourselves, ourselves, others in the city centre, because it is a work for the long haul. Yeah, we're united by things that are of the greatest significance. We love the same Lord. And what a glorious Saviour we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, the Lord. And what a glorious thing to be serving him, to be called to minister in his name, and to seek the advancement of his kingdom. It's a glorious work to which he calls his people. We love the same Lord, and we're proclaiming the same gospel. And that is a tremendous reassurance and encouragement. We thank God that in the centre of Belfast there are other gospel preaching churches. We're not alone, and we do often preach, or we do often rather pray for all who are proclaiming the gospel in the city, because it needs all of us. The impact of all the evangelical churches put together on the unchurched is very, very small. And you know that's the reality, and I know that's the reality. There is vast need. We have a message of a God who saves. It's not a message that first of all tells sinners, you've got to do this and this and this. It's a message that first of all tells them, this is what God has done. This is the gospel, and now you're to respond to it. It's God-centered, and we praise God. That's the message you're preaching, a God-centered gospel of an almighty Saviour. And that's what this city needs. There is endless need all around us. Indeed, one of the challenges is there are so many things that we could do. We have got to have discernment to know what is God's work for us and what work is to be left to others. You could run in so many directions. You would spread yourself so thin you do nothing really adequately. That is a big challenge. At an Old Testament professor who used to, he enjoyed a joke, he loved to talk about the man who jumped on his horse and rode off in all directions. And there's a temptation to do that. We need biblical discernment. What is God's work, God's ministry for us, for you, where he's placed you? It's a very diverse community. Probably there's nowhere more diverse in Northern Ireland than the centre of Belfast. Ethnically, ages, socially, there is everything here. And that means there are tremendous opportunities. There are tremendous challenges. Very international. And one of the contacts we've appreciated in Shaftesbury is with the work you've been doing with Trevor, Barbara and others with internationals. And that's encouraging work. But internationals are a lot more open. The hardest folk to evangelise, undoubtedly, the Ulster Protestants. There's nobody harder than the Ulster Prod. That's the truth of it. A few weeks ago, we were doing our usual knocking of the doors in the area, just introducing ourselves. In a whole morning, there were, I think, two people admitted to a church connection. That was all. And our other folk found the same thing. And that's the reality. 90%+ have no church connection and no desire for a church connection. And you knock the door, they're not interested, are you Baptist, are you Presbyterian, do you have horns, what do you have? They don't, if church, no thanks. Don't want it, don't need it. Heard the gospel, no, that's not for us. So it's a huge challenge. And if it were not that we have an almighty Saviour, we'd simply pack up and go home. But we have an almighty Saviour. And that's a tremendous encouragement in ministry. We have the word of life to hold out to a needy world. And we do appreciate the support of others. We pray for you. We pray for all those who are preaching the gospel in the city centre. It's great to know we're not alone. That is an encouragement. The enemy, of course, will always tell you you're on your own. What are you accomplishing? You're doing nothing. Our God is doing his work. And that work will be completed perfectly. It's good to fellowship together. We look forward to fellowship. I see you're doing nothing tomorrow. pop round. We'll be glad to see you. And there won't be so many suits, actually, if you come round to Shaftesbury. Thought I'd mention that, just in case it's a help. But we do look forward to renewed fellowship and gospel ministry here in the city centre. We do pray for God's blessing on your work. Just a verse came to mind that's meant a lot to me. At different times, 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honour me, I will honour. We're to honour God, but whatever the cost, it may be costly. Ministry is costly. We're not under any illusions of that. But God will honour faithful ministry. How he does it, it may amaze us. Don't know what he'll do. May do things we never imagined. But our call is to honour God, seek his glory, seek the advancement of his cause, and he'll bless in his way. And that's all that concerns us. Not that people think, oh, what a fantastic Baptist church. What a great Reformed Presbyterian church. Doesn't matter. If God's glorified, that's what matters. You're welcome to the city centre. You're welcome to ministry in a field that has endless opportunities. May God bless you, and may you know great satisfaction and joy in the work. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mackay. I know that Steve and Lindsay and the family were held in very high esteem in Eden Baptist Church in Cambridge. I know that the church there loved them to bits and were so sorry that they were losing them. And it's a real joy and delight to have the pastor of Eden Baptist here this afternoon, Julian Hardiman. I know that he has invested a lot of time in Steve in terms of preaching, in terms of pastoral work, and we're so grateful and thankful to the church at Eden Baptist in Cambridge. And it's been a joy just for me to get to know Julian a little and his wife Debbie, and I'm going to ask Julian now if he would come and bring greetings on behalf of Eden Baptist in Cambridge. Thank you.
Eric suggested at the start of the service that this was a little bit like a wedding. If it is, then I feel a little bit like the father of the bride. Just a little bit. What does the father of the bride do? Well, he gets up and he tells some jokes about his little girl when she was his little girl. Then she says how clever and beautiful she is and gives some encouragement to the groom as to why he really has made a good choice. When we were recruiting Steve, which was not all that long ago, I got a reference for him from Don Carson, who'd been teaching him and who had taught me and knew and knows me well too. He gave Steve a very good reference and he said, Steve Oll is a real man's man, so he'll be a good foil for you. I never quite recovered from that. When Steve had a little bit of an encounter with us at Eden, I said to him, how do you find us, English people? And he said, well, you're great, really. And I think I can work with you. Even if you do tend to shake hands like this. So ever since when Steve comes round on a Tuesday morning to see me and chat, I've always tried to shake hands with him more like this. But the tighter I grip, the tighter he grips back, and there's no match there. You've got someone with great forearms. You've also got someone with, and Lindsay too, huge relational warmth. And as I bring greetings from the dear folk at Eden, I think I can confidently say, on behalf of everyone at Eden, how much we've appreciated Steve and Lindsay and their growing family, and how much we will miss them in all sorts of ways. But for everyone, one of the things we will miss most is simply that relational warmth. They love people, and they show that love. and you feel very, very loved by them. That's a great thing to be able to commend someone for. But it isn't simply a normal human sort of love that happens to be something that is built into their lives. This is a love that God has given them. And I want to read a verse from Hebrews 13, which I think is very appropriate on an occasion like this. It's quite difficult for the pastor of a church to read, for obvious reasons, where the author says, "Have confidence in your leaders," or "obey your leaders, and submit to their authority, because they are keeping watch over your souls." You can have confidence in Steve. You can submit to him and his authority jointly with the elders. He's the sort of person it's right to do that with because of what God has invested in him, the person he is, as well as his position in the church. And I want to commend you, to encourage you to do that, for all sorts of reasons, but particularly for this. Because Steve, in all he does, will be seeking the very best for your souls. And nothing matters more. Each week as he's come round and we've sat together and chewed over our lives and the life of the church, he has drawn me into talking about my own soul, I think more than anyone I've ever worked with. And I'm going to miss it. And that has come not from some kind of inappropriate curiosity or prying into my inner being in a way that I didn't want. It's come out of the love that God has poured into Steve's own heart and come out of a love for my well-being in Christ and a desire to promote that. And I think in everything that Steve has done as assistant pastor of Eden Baptist Church over these years that we've enjoyed with him, he has been consistently seeking for the well-being of the souls of the people. And we have loved him for that and given thanks to God for him for that. The very greatest pastor, I think, who ever worked in Cambridge was a man called Charles Simeon, who you may have heard of, who had a 52 or 3-year ministry in the middle of Cambridge, not all that far from where our church building is. He had a young assistant called Henry Martin, who went out from Cambridge, not to Northern Ireland, but overseas as a missionary and Bible translator. After Henry Martin's tragic and early death, he kept a portrait of Martin on his study wall. And he said he had it there not out of mere sentimentality or nostalgia, but because as he looked up from his work and saw Martin's eyes looking down on him, he seemed to hear Henry Martin saying to him, "Be earnest. Be earnest." We have photographs of all our church staff up on a notice board at church. After Steve had left, the photograph was still there. Before anyone else could, I took it down and took it home. I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to frame it, and I'm going to have it on my study wall. And I think that as I look up at that, I will hear Steve saying to me, "Be earnest for people's souls. Be earnest for people's souls." It's been an interesting journey for us to appoint someone as an assistant pastor and then have them leave really before the time that the minimum time that we thought they would serve. But we see God's hand in this. And in the autumn, when you were in conversation with Steve and we were wondering how that would go, there was a verse from Isaiah 43, or a couple of verses, which were very much on my heart and which Steve and I talked about repeatedly. We talked about these verses repeatedly, wondering what it would mean for Eden. I hadn't thought to bring this, but I will now, because it may be that it was something that actually is for you as well. So in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, the prophet says this: "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the Westland.
Thank you, Julianne, for those lovely words and for that encouragement to Steve. Thank you so much. This morning, the phone rang in our house at 9 o'clock, and it was a former pastor, Timothy Alford, who said that he was rejoicing with us today and that he would be praying for us today. And he asked if I would bring greetings on his behalf to the fellowship here. And I do that on behalf of Timothy and Pansy Alford, who wanted to be remembered to you all today. And just another couple who've been in my mind very much are Araldo and Emmanuel Arias, who are members who are serving the Lord in St. Andre in Portugal. They're celebrating today the first anniversary of their new church building. They would love to have been here. They can't be here, but they too wanted to extend greetings to Steve and Lindsay on this special day. We've now arrived at a point where we're going to sing, and we're going to sing another hymn, and let's stand to sing this lovely hymn, Sovereign Over Us.
Thank you.
It's good to be reminded that we serve a sovereign God who is sovereign over us. And I'm going to invite now Dr. Mike Bullmore to come and bring God's word to us. It's been a real joy and pleasure for me to get to know Mike. Just last evening, he was with the office bearers, and his humility, his graciousness shone through. He reminds me so much of Jerry Bridges, and I know that he will be a great blessing to us as he comes to bring God's word to us. Thank you so much, Mike.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, and good afternoon to each one of you. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the United States, and I want you to know right off the bat what a sense of privilege it is for us to be here. I'm so grateful that Beverly, my wife, could be with me. It's a privilege for us to be here in your country and in your city, and in this church on this very special occasion of Stephen being inducted as the pastor of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church. What an honor. Beverly and I have already enjoyed a very sweet time of fellowship with Stephen and Lindsay and their family. I was very grateful for the opportunity that Eric just mentioned to be with the office bearers of the church last evening. It's really a great joy for me to be here. And I recognize this afternoon that most of you don't know who I am, and I don't know who most of you are, but I do know that we share a common interest and we share a common love. We have a love for Stephen and Lindsay Auld and their family, and even more important than that, we share a love for Jesus Christ and his church. And a gratitude for what he has done for us individually, and a gratitude for what he has done in our church and what he is doing in the church here and in our lives and around the world. What a sense of privilege I think all of us who are in Christ feel in being a part of what God is doing. I first met Steve and Lindsay back in 2012. About 5 years ago now, they had come to study in America at Trinity Seminary, and someone, I don't know who, we have to thank for advising them to come to Crossway Community Church, where I pastor. They stayed after visiting, and very soon thereafter, they became members, and they joined a group of young men and their wives who are training for pastoral ministry, and I very quickly found myself impressed with this young couple from Ireland. I was impressed by Steve's mind. I was impressed by his energy. I was impressed by his joy. But mostly, I was impressed by his zeal for God and his zeal for the advance of the gospel. So through 2012, 2013, through 2014, we developed a relationship with the Aulds, and we came to dearly love Steve and Lindsay and to treasure our relationship with them, and so we were reluctant to let them go. Our desire, Julie, and I can relate very much to what you said a few moments ago, our desire was to keep them and to have them with us and to perhaps even fold them into ministry in some way in the States. But then we sent them back and we rejoiced to hear of the effective ministry that was taking place in Cambridge. And then over these past months, we have rejoiced again. When we heard about things developing with a certain church in Belfast, in the heart of the city, a church with a tremendous history of gospel ministry behind it, and a church with amazing opportunity for ongoing gospel ministry in front of it, right in the city center of Belfast, and at the doorstep of the university that is here, with all of the opportunity, we were thrilled as Stephen told us about this opportunity and the developments that were happening with Great Vic. And now to be here, as Stephen is set in as the new pastor of this church, it is a great joy and a great privilege to be a part of this. It is very easy for me to say to you today that Stephen Stephen Auld is one of the finest young men that I know. He is a loving and growing husband. He is a tender and growing father. He is a particularly fine preacher. And I believe he is going to be an excellent pastor. But most of all, he has a very compelling heart for God. I hear it in his conversation. I hear it when we pray together. I especially experience it whenever I'm with him, and it stirs me up to love God more. And so I hope you understand that I mean it from my heart when I say it is a real privilege for me to stand here before you today. Well, let me invite you to turn with me this afternoon to the book of 1 Peter. I've been given the responsibility of issuing a charge to Stephen and to you as a church, and I'd like you to turn with me this afternoon to 1 Peter chapter 5. Stephen, I must confess to you, I had a hard time deciding which passage to preach from. I wanted to say something to you from a dozen different passages of God's Word. I thought about the wonderful passage that we find in 1 Thessalonians about being entrusted with the gospel, you and this church being entrusted with the gospel. I thought about the pastoral epistles, of course, where we spent so much time together, where you preached from those passages with your fellows there at Crossway. I thought about something from the book of Acts. In fact, you reminded me just yesterday as we drove up from the airport about the words from Acts chapter 6 about the Word of God continuing to grow. I thought, what a great theme in the book of Acts to preach from at your induction. All of those passages came to mind. I considered the responsibility that I have and to speak to both you and to the church and the incredible opportunity and privilege that we have together that God has given us as a gathering of believers. And there were other passages that came to my mind, but in the end, there was something in particular here in 1 Peter chapter 5 that I could not escape, something that I sensed God pressing on me to speak to you before these people of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church on the occasion of your induction. I know that I'm speaking this afternoon to more than just one man. I'm speaking certainly to the gathering of God's people here. There is a word specifically, though, for those who have been given charge to lead. So Stephen, as well as the elders, by extension, the other office bearers here, I'm guessing it will come as no surprise that I want to direct our attention this afternoon to this passage in 1 Peter. Because there is found there what is arguably the clearest and most straightforward charge to pastors and elders that is contained in all of Scripture. Peter very directly says, elders, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Stephen, God's word to you is very clear. Shepherd. Shepherd the flock of God that is here. And in a surprisingly brief span of verses, Peter describes for us what exactly is necessary for that task of shepherding. Look with me at 1 Peter, starting at verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. You follow along carefully as I read. This is God's word. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. From these verses, I want to call our attention this afternoon to just two words of instruction for those who are called to shepherd in the local church. And Stephen, I'm hoping, I'm trusting that this carries a particular weight for you today. Two words of instruction from this passage. First, a word about the way of your shepherding. And second, a word about the goal of your shepherding. So first, a word about the way of shepherding. How is this shepherding to which you have been called to be done? Well, Peter gives us a wonderfully succinct description in verses 2 and 3. He says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." What we see there is three very concrete descriptions, but I want you to notice that the first two of them describe a certain quality or a feel that should characterize your shepherding. First, Peter says, "Shepherd the flock, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly." Willingly. That's an adverb modifying shepherding. It describes the quality of your shepherding, the quality your shepherding should possess. There should be a willingness, a readiness, a gladness to your shepherding. And then Peter says, "Shepherd the flock, exercising oversight, not for shameful gain, not for some advantage to you, but eagerly." That's another adverb. It describes a quality your shepherding, your pastoring should exhibit. There should be an eagerness to serve, a freedom from selfish motive, even a joyfulness to your shepherding. So there is to be a willing responsibility, a joyful integrity that should mark, that should characterize your shepherding. But please notice now, the third and final descriptor is not a word about the character of your shepherding, but about the method of your shepherding. Verse 3. "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Do you see that? Those first two statements describe a characteristic, a quality. This last one is describing a method, a means. And the conclusion that I draw from that is not that those first two characteristics are less important, not at all, but that this third descriptor is the main way, the main means by which shepherding is to be done. Yes, we are to shepherd willingly, not under compulsion. Yes, we are to shepherd eagerly, not for our own material advantage. But the unique means by which shepherds are to shepherd is by their humble, faithful example of their lives. How are we to go about shepherding? Exactly how do we do this that God has called us to? By what means? Here it is, right here, being examples to the flock. Now, I want to be ever so careful here. We know, at least I trust we know, the priority of the ministry of the word in pastoral work. The priority, I trust we know that this ministry of the word is a major means by which we shepherd. That comes through loud and clear in the New Testament. Paul says very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4 that the ascended Christ gave to the church pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the church. And it's based on that conviction that Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, describing how Timothy is to pastor, he says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to teaching, to exhortation. He reminds him again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, with very great seriousness, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching." And Paul said the same thing to Titus, chapter 2. "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Declare these things." Clearly, there is an emphasis and a priority to the ministry of the word. Stephen, preach. Teach. Make sure the word of God is brought faithfully to the people of God. That is a means by which your pastoring, your shepherding will be carried out. And we know from the Bible that God's word is powerful. Hebrews tells us so clearly the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate even the division of joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. I love the way Isaiah says it, even more eloquently. Just as the rain and the snow do not come down from heaven without watering the earth, causing it to bud and flourish, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word will not return to me without accomplishing that for which I have sent it. God's word is ever so powerful. I mean, just stop and consider all of the things that the word of God can do. It initiates faith. Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It gives spiritual life. 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, you have been born again through the living and abiding word of God. It helps us to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It sanctifies us. John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It searches our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, it liberates. John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It renews and revives and rejoices the heart. God's word has incredible power and ability. And that's why Paul says so emphatically to these young pastors, Timothy and Titus, preach the word, teach sound doctrine. It's how God's people live and flourish and are built up. Nonetheless, there is something else upon which the effective ministry of the word depends, and that is the character, the godliness of the preacher, the godliness of the pastor. And you see that in 2 Timothy and Titus, where Paul sets out the qualifications for pastors, which are all about character. I should say almost all about character. Yes, there is that requirement that they are able to teach, that they are able to give instruction in sound doctrine, but otherwise, all of those qualifications for pastors are about character. It's exactly the same order of priority we see when Paul says to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Yes, watch the teaching, but first, Stephen, watch your life. Which is another way of saying that the word that we preach will have its effect first in your life. Listen, our lifestyle, our behavior, our character as pastors will either adorn the teaching or it will distort the teaching. It will either adorn the gospel or it will distort the gospel. We, by no means, are immune to the things that Peter names in this chapter, the cravings for power, cravings for praise, cravings for a little more money. We need to attend to these things for the sake of our souls, but we also need to attend to them for the sake of the people to whom we are called to minister. It's by our example, the example of our lives, the character of our lives. And as I read these verses here from 1 Peter chapter 5, it seems like the primary character quality that Peter is urging, the primary example that he is calling us as elders and pastors to exhibit, is that of humble selflessness. It is the character quality of Jesus in the incarnation. It is the character quality of humble, selfless love. And I have seen the effect of that over and over again as I have observed godly pastoral ministry, God using humble, selfless love in a pastor to win a hearing and sustain a hearing for the word of God upon which God's people depend. Stephen, what this means is that in your pastoral counseling, you will need to recognize that there is, on the one hand, the possibility of being overly conciliatory, and on the other hand, the possibility of being overly tyrannical. But there is also the possibility of humble selflessness that will greatly facilitate your shepherding through the ministry of the Word. It means that in your evangelism, you will need to recognize that there is the possibility, on the one hand, of pushy, obnoxious presentation of the gospel, and there is, on the other hand, being timid or intimidated by those to whom we speak, but there is also the possibility of a humble selflessness that shares the gospel without fear, but with patience and gentleness. It means that in your preaching here on Sunday mornings, you will need to recognize that there is, on the one hand, such a thing as self-absorbed authoritarianism. And on the other hand, there is such a thing as fear of man. But there is also such a thing as a weakly giving of oneself in humble, careful, devoted, heartfelt proclamation of God's word. You know, I haven't been a pastor for terribly long compared to some, but I have, in the time of my pastoring, come to the profound conviction that leadership in the church is a means of grace to God's people. God designed it for the good of his people, and the main way that God mediates his shepherding care to his people through pastoral leadership is by the example, by the lives of the shepherds. Stephen, here in what Peter is saying, shepherd the flock by being an example to the flock, you hear, I think, the charge of God upon your life. And the same is true for all of the office bearers of this church, all of the things that God calls the congregation to do, elders must do. And by so doing, lead the church. How are you to lead them? Not by driving them with the law or with the force of your authority, but by drawing them with the gospel, especially through a gospel-transformed life. By turning their attention to Christ again and again through your increasingly Christ-like life, and by turning their attention to the provision of God for them in Christ. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things, demonstrating, displaying that truth and 100 other gospel promises by your own life? At one point, Robert Murray McChain said, "The best thing I can give my people is my own personal holiness." And I would say in the same vein, Stephen, the best thing you can do for your people, the people of this church, is to believe and live the gospel so they can see it and they can know week by week it's not just words, it's life. And so that that principle doesn't stay as some vague and abstract idea, Paul, when communicating the very same word of instruction to Timothy about the way of shepherding, he speaks very concretely. Remember these words, Timothy? Set the believers an example. And then listen to this. In your speech, how will you talk to others? How will you talk about others? Will it put on display the effect of the gospel in your life? Set the believers an example in your conduct. Will your life be marked by self-control and patience and integrity? Will your conduct put on display the life-transforming power of the gospel? Set the believers an example in your love. How will you be in your heart and in your deeds toward the people of this church, toward the church as a whole? Will it put on display the life-transforming power of the gospel? Set the believers an example in your faith. Will it be full of faith that your heart is marked? The promises of God, will that put on display the effects of the gospel? And then Paul says, set the believers an example in your purity. How will you act and think about women, about money, about power? Will it put on display the effects of the gospel in your life? Every one of those is the word of God at work. Every one of those is born out of the transforming power of the gospel at work. The gospel taking root, growing, bearing fruit throughout your life in all of those areas, in areas that are seen and areas that are not seen. When the gospel is at work in your life, God will use that for the good of this people. It's part of the mechanism of leadership that he has designed. He has ordained. He has set it. That's the way this very clear instruction speaks. It's why this clear instruction is here. This is how I want you to lead to achieve my purpose. He will use this gospel modeling to accomplish his purpose. Stephen, this is what Christ calls you to shepherd the church, yes, by faithful ministry of the word, but first through your life, by being an example, by so believing the gospel in your heart, by so being transformed by the gospel in your life, by so being shaped by the gospel in all of your dealings, and by so letting the gospel permeate your life as to affect every area of your life, so that your life puts on display the power and the beauty of the gospel so that people can see it. Listen, you are not just to be an example of morality. You are not to just be an example of duty or commitment. You are to be an example, a model of word transformed, gospel transformed life. Not flawless, but faithful. And by so doing, lead this congregation. And when that happens over time, you will be moving closer and closer to what verse 4 talks about. Before we get there, let's just remind ourselves of the second instruction that Peter has for us here, which we will cover just ever so briefly. We've seen the way of your shepherding. Let's consider now the goal of your shepherding. In verse 4, Peter speaks about the time when the chief shepherd appears. The Bible talks a lot about that day, the day of the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's a major theme through the New Testament. Paul speaks of when Christ, who is your life, appears. The Apostle John says, abide in him so that when he appears, you may have confidence. All of the New Testament writers speak of it, this coming day when Christ appears, and they speak of it in a particularly emphasized way. In fact, Martin Luther at one point said, I have just 2 days on my calendar, today and that day. Stephen and other elders of Great Vic, that day should always be on your mind. You are shepherding, you are laboring with an eye toward that day. You want that day to be a day of joy for the people of this church. Your goal is to be able to give an account for those entrusted to your care on that day with joy. Your goal is to labor faithfully now so as to present everyone here mature in Christ on that day. So in this phrase, when the chief shepherd appears, Peter is calling your attention to what your shepherding is for. It's all for that day. Stephen, the rest of verse 4 tells you that if you are faithful in this calling, on that day, you will receive a crown of glory. The unfading crown. You will receive that. Take great encouragement. I speak now to you and to the elders of this church. Take great encouragement from this. God has built effectiveness into the design. God has built success into the system. He intends success for his purposes. God says, if you shepherd in this way, I will use it to accomplish what I intend. You will be effective shepherds. Remember, it is, after all, God's flock. Peter says that very clearly in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God. The church is God's, not ours, and he has invested much in it. So, as Samuel Rutherford once said, duties are ours, results are the Lord's, but God has designed shepherding such that when we do it his way, it will be effective. That's why Peter can say, excuse me, with such confidence, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You know, as if we haven't already received so much from the Lord, as if we haven't already been promised to receive so much, a million times more than enough from God in Christ, and yet he says, you will receive a crown of glory. That is a reward, which will be glory. That's what that means. It does not mean a glorious crown. It means a crown, a reward, which is glory. Remember what Peter said in verse 1? So as I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Peter, speaking for God, says, Christ will appear. We will see him. And when we see him, we will be like him because we shall see him face to face. We will share in his glory. And for those who have been called to shepherd, there will be a dimension of his glory as the great shepherd that we will share in. And Stephen, that should bring you great joy. The glory of Christ should be your greatest treasure. And the idea of somehow sharing in that glory should strengthen your heart like nothing else. You are called to shepherd the flock here at Great Vic. I know you know this, Stephen and the elders. It will not always be easy. This work will not go unchallenged. There will be much work that seems thankless, for which you will receive little commendation here. But if you believe that you will on that day receive the unfading crown of glory and that it's Christ's glory, then you will have the quiet, steady, persevering strength to do what Christ calls you to do. Stephen, let the glory of Christ, the taste of it now, and the fullness of it then be your sustained and sustaining passion. And even in this, let your life be an example to the flock. Let the people of this church see in you a love for and a longing for the glory of Christ. Let them see in every dimension of your life that for you, Christ is all in all. That for you to live is Christ. And that your one great desire is that Christ might be made much of. We pray that to his glory. Amen.
Can I just on your behalf thank Mike for bringing the charge and for such practical words of encouragement, and just that would help each one of us live for Christ and for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And we would all re-echo those sentiments that what we have done this afternoon would be to his glory and his glory alone. We're now going to come and sing this lovely hymn, Be Thou My Vision, and we'll stand to sing.
My vision, O Lord, of my heart, God be all that's to me, say that thou art my vision, O Lord, my vision.
Nathaniel Ashby, who's the church community outreach worker, if he would now come and close in prayer with the benediction. Daniel, please.
Just before we close in prayer, I've been asked to pass on just a couple of announcements for afterwards. We're going to have food and everything else afterwards. So I would ask if everyone would remain seated for a few minutes. We're going to play the video we played at the start again. If you just remain seated while that video plays, just to let the ladies get everything organised and bring the food in. If you wouldn't mind doing that, that'd be great. And let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for bringing Steve and Lindsay and the kids here to Great Vic. We thank you that we've been able to join together as a church family and as the family and friends of Steve and Lindsay to come together and to celebrate this day. And Lord, we do pray for your blessing upon us for the future. Lord, we ask for it. Lord, we pray that you would build your kingdom here. Build it in us, and may it flow out of us to every part of this city, to every part of this world. And may you bless us. Lord, we thank you for this food. We pray you'll bless our bodies. We thank you for those who prepared it. And we just pray you'll bless our fellowship now together. In Jesus' name, amen.